What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And, you know, well, you already know that you're locked in and you just can't leave. Y'all already know that. Y'all know the doors have been slammed shut. Y'all can't go. Y'all ain't going nowhere. All right. So, first and foremost, you know, let's get it out the way. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Philly Fridays with your brother over here doing it live from the 215. And let me tell y'all, man, y'all already know where to find us. Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. You can also catch us on the podcast streams on our new network, the True Stories Podcast Network, the True Stories Podcast Network. And you can find that on all of your streaming apps. You just have to look it up. Look up Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. And, you know, in the search engines on those particular streaming sites, and you shall find me. Well, we are passing down, and you know, it's funny. I just found out that there was supposed to be like some blackout boycott for, of all stores, Target in particular, based on, I guess, some DEI promises that weren't kept, according to members of the community. And, and, you know, as many of y'all know, there was some slashing that went on over there with the DEI programs. They didn't keep the DEI programs. So going all the way back to the November election, you know, and we're talking about like a year ago, you know, going back to that November 8th election. I believe it was November 8th of Donald Trump. That boycott was going on. Surprisingly, the market saw like a 12, like, I don't know, was it like $12 billion weekend, Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend. Yeah, so they were talking about they made record sales. And, you know, I'm not really a part of any boycott. First of all, I don't do boycotts. I abstain. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not. There's no in between with me. There's certain franchises I will never go into again, and I've made it known my reasons for that and why that is. So I'm not chasing anything down. So I just think that these boycotts are silly, impulsive, and they're not well thought out or planned. And like I said, you know, you don't boycott what you consider or perceive an enemy of yours. You learn to abstain. You start building those things on your own. Then you won't have to go back to that place where you felt as though you were disrespected, and now you want to somehow hold those multi-million-dollar, multinational establishments responsible or accountable when you don't have the power. You're not organized. Economically speaking, your economic footprint doesn't put a dent into what they're dealing with. They can replace your dollars. In fact, if they advertise you ain't you that you don't come to the store, other people will go to the store just to mock you. So I just keep it pushing, man. But yeah, this was a holiday weekend. And it's a little dry up in here. I got a little parched. Let me drink a little something. Had to get that in there. So, you know, one of the things that that one, you know, reflect on is, you know, the past week of Thanksgiving. And many people celebrate it, many people do not, or many people, some people choose to abstain from that particular holiday because of its origins and history with the slaughter of, you know, hundreds and maybe even thousands of natives, and how that was made of a tradition by the pilgrims. And so, excuse me, damn it. I feel like I got a little scratch there or itch there. So, hold tight 1 second, y'all. All right. I don't know what the fuck's like. I told you I was a little dry in here. You know, I don't know what the hell just happened, but anyway, I'm back. So many people don't celebrate it because of, they believe its origins where, you know, we were deceived as children in terms of what the origins of the holiday was, which I get it. I understand. But then you also have some people who choose to celebrate family. And this is the one time of the year that family can get together. You know, it's carved out. It works out nicely. A 4-day weekend, short work week. Many people choose to go on vacation. I believe the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is like one of the most heavily traveled, trafficked days of the year. Via whether you're in a car, planes, trains, automobiles, any of those. And people want to get around and see their family. So if you got a chance to spend time with your family, take advantage of it. Don't let anybody talk you out of spending time with your family. But there's also some people who are struggling. And they're struggling because the holiday brings them some sort of trauma. Around a year, they have not been able to, over years, that, you know, it brings up bad memories. Damn. Sorry, y'all. Now I got like a post-nasal drip because of what I was just dealing with. And I understand. Now, those people don't want to deal with that because it caused them psychological, you know, suffering and so forth. Then, hold tight. Then you have families like this, right? That their holiday is, these families, their holiday, it kind of looks like this, right? Hold on. Because I thought this was hilarious.
Yo, I'm tired of this shit, and I'm really tired of your dry macaroni making ass, and Ray Ray, your daddy ain't your daddy. Cat's out the bag, you little motherfucker. Hey, Tasha, yeah, you been letting Johnny fuck you in the ass for the last 5 months. James, I bet you ain't know what your wife was doing, huh? Fuck y'all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Man, listen. If your holiday was like that, I understand. I truly understand. Because I know some years have been like that. Where you know, this just ain't it. And there's some unresolved issues going on around. Around the table. So, you know, and this is off of RigTunes, like at TikTok off of RigTunes. So if y'all want to check out more of these videos, they have a whole bunch of them. Hilarious, right? But also want to, you know, in regards to what we're dealing with, right? Because we're dealing with a lot of crises right now. I want y'all to, you know, as you know, as we get used to doing the switching up the topics, you know. Right. You know what I mean? This is what we do. So, I want y'all to check out this next video. Well, excuse me, I'm watching videos. Y'all not. But I want y'all to check out. I want y'all to check out this clip from PsychX, because I think this is very important. One of the topics that, as men, you need to really focus on. As y'all know, this is a men's station focused on improving the conditions for the men, for the brothers, and also helping them become better at self-actualization. All right. So I want y'all to check out this clip from PsychX. And y'all can, his name really is PsychX. Well, his name isn't PsychX. It's Orion, something. Anyway, check this out.
Guys, if your girl balks at a thrift store ring, it should, for once and for all, shatter any residual illusion you have that marriage is really about love. That this woman is your soulmate, your better half, who's going to be with you for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health. Like, that's just the advertisement for marriage. That's marketing. And it has about as much concordance with the actual product as like an ad for a herpes medication where everyone is just like frolicking about and playing beach volleyball. It functionally has nothing to do with the actual reality of married life. And those vows are not legally binding. But that contract is. This is not to say that no man should ever move forward with marriage, but that he should do so with his eyes wide open. She's not thinking about love, my dude. She's thinking about her future, her salary, her perks, and the lifestyle her compensation package would allow her to enjoy. And once a man sees this clearly, it falls to him to make some cold-hearted, rational decisions. There are two main questions to ask here. Can I afford her? And is she worth it? Guys.
So, and as we address that particular issue, right? Because he asked some very poignant questions. He asked the, if she bulks at what would be like a y'all already know where he was going with that, right? If she feels as though you didn't spend enough money on the ring, that is a reflection of how you feel about her, and that your investment into the relationship is based on how much you spend, then you really need to understand what she's saying to you. And a lot of guys get glossy-eyed because men are the real romantics when it comes to relationships. And we're the ones that fall in love. See, men make marriages happen. We're the ones that, you know, they can hint all they want. We're the ones that decide to propose. We're the ones that have to go out there and buy the engagement rings. We're the ones who actually have to, you know, create the circumstances in which marriage is possible, right? And unless you're part of one of those dysfunctional relationships that's just doomed to fail from the start, somebody say, well, fuck it, let's just get married. You might as well just marry me. And, you know, then a lot of guys go in there glossy-eyed, looking at the relationship through rose-colored lenses. And listen, I'm not telling y'all anything that I haven't been in the past, okay? And when she starts trying to sort of like, it's a showpiece for her. She wants to brag to her friends. She wants to show it off. And I told you all before, fellas, one of the biggest reasons as to why women will say they would rather date, they can't date the bus driver, the blue-collar man, they'd rather have a white-collar man, is because they can't, just through their lens, they can't really brag about you to their friends, to their social groups. they can't really brag about you to them. Because they'll feel as though they're looked down upon. And that matters a lot more to her than your actual character. Like seriously, women will put up with some abusive situations. They'll put up with being cheated on. They'll put up with somebody putting their hands on them for appearances. It's insane. So, you know, when you know, and it's Orion Terriban, that's the name, Orion Terriban. If you really think about how this all comes down and comes off, then you truly understand the nature of the predicament you find yourself in. And so that's an if question. If she balks at the ring because she feels as though you didn't pay enough money for the ring, that should let you know the type of relationship you're about to wander into. And you need to be prepared for that. And you know, there's other reasons for why you should be prepared for that. Because let me tell y'all something. Hold up. I want y'all to hear what this young lady said, right? I want y'all to check this out, because what this young lady said really spoke volumes in terms of what happens when you get into a marriage. And I'm just going to dip this just a little bit. All right. But I want y'all to hear what this young lady says, because a lot of times y'all get it confused. Y'all do. And we're going to come back to that in 2 seconds. But check this.
Okay, so I'm newly married and I linked up with a wife club, and they told me I'll come hang out with them or whatever. And I'm seeing this shit. In this case, I should have just started single, because these women, you know, they just giving it out. I mean, I was really ready to learn new recipes, learn how to knit and bake cookies and shit. And, you know, all I'm learning is that the new 304s is somebody's wife. I'm sorry, but I ain't signed up for this shit. I mean, I love my husband to death. He treats me very well. He treats me like a queen. So I'm sorry, baby. Y'all, I got to cancel that. I can't relate.
And, man, everybody talking about all this bullshit. Why the fuck is it easier to fuck another nigga bitch in today's time than it is to fuck the single women?
You ain't lying.
So, and those questions need to be answered. And fellas, this is what happens when you marry a woman who, where you feel as though you're that high value man, you bring in the money, and the money was the Lord, you led with money, and that woman gets with you because she sees you as her safety net. Financially speaking, she sees that you're going to take care of her. Her future becomes more secure. And, you know, a lot of y'all end up in some sexless relationships. A lot of y'all find out how that woman can't stand your guts. And she will cheat on you. She will find a man who doesn't have to pay her one nickel. In fact, she'll take some of your money and spend it on him. And then you will... You'll start to resent other women, and then you'll turn into the monster that all the other women talk about when they say they came across a brother who treated them dirty. You'll become the dirty dealer, bruh. So you better pay attention to all these telltale signs of what, you know, certain women come with. And... That takes me to another, you know, interesting piece, right? Because let me see. All right, so that was it right there. But I want y'all to peep something, right? I want y'all to really peep something. And this is we're going to respond to a clip, you know, as we say, right? Hold on. We're going to respond to another as we transition to the next piece. I want y'all to pay attention to this clip, because This is a longer one, by the way. I want y'all to pay attention to this because this is something that a lot of brothers have to deal with now in terms of the market. And, you know, I think that we really need to understand what the date market looks like for us. But I think we also need to step our game up when it comes to what we will settle for. So the title of this particular one we're watching, well, listen, I'm watching, you're going to listen to, is Why Men Won't Date Single Mothers. And in parentheses, it says the harsh reality. So, all right, y'all, check this out.
You know what nobody talks about when it comes to single mothers and dating? It's not what you think. Everyone wants to make this about morality or character or some outdated notion of honor. But that's not what's actually happening. What's happening is something much more primal, much more calculated, and much more brutal than anyone wants to admit. It's about a cost-benefit analysis that every man runs subconsciously within the first 5 minutes of meeting a single mother, and the numbers almost never add up in her favor. Let me be clear about something right now. This isn't about whether single mothers are good people. Many of them are incredible women who've been dealt difficult hands. This isn't about their worth as human beings or their capacity to love. This is about market dynamics, psychological programming, and the mathematics of male investment. And when you understand these forces, you'll understand why the vast majority of quality men swipe left the moment they see mum to two amazing kids in a dating profile.
And he's absolutely correct on when men make that assessment. Now, depending on a man's self-esteem or just his ability to do without, you know, a lot of men now, more so now than ever, have chosen to exit stage left when it comes to dealing with the notion of dating a single mother. And like you said, it has nothing to do with the quality of a person she is. It has nothing to do with even her attraction in many cases. Many times they got to where they got to because of how attracted he was to her. And she knows that this is a deficit. This is why, this is one of the reasons. So either, there are two tactics the women with children will use. One, when they meet a man, if they really like that man, they'll tell that man, or they'll wait to have the conversation about children. They won't talk about the children. They won't bring it up. They'll typically wait until that man sort of starts falling for her. And then once he starts falling for her, then she will interject her children into the conversation in many cases. You do have some occasions where they'll tell you up front, you know, I'm amazing mother to these children, or these children mean my world, this, that, and the other, which is how they often, you know, because sometimes they want to know right up front whether or not you're going to be in like fight or flight situation in terms of how you grasp that circumstance. So a lot of times they're on that. But for the most part nowadays, in the past, a lot of brothers would be even shamed into dating somebody because, you know, you're considered less than if you don't always, if you didn't take on another man's children, which I'm glad now that whole thing has changed, you know, because it gets to a point where you,
what more do you want from me?
All right. And so, but I'm going to let them go on. And by the way, this particular, if you want to find this clip, you can go to YouTube to Psych Ledger. And find this particular video. All right, so check this out.
Here's what's happening in a man's brain, whether he realizes it or not, when he considers dating a single mother. He's running an equation. On one side, he's calculating what he has to offer, his time, his money, his attention. On the other side, he's calculating what he gets in return. And with single mothers, that equation is brutally lopsided from the start. Think about this for a second. When a man dates a woman without children, 100% of his investment goes toward building something with her. Every dinner, every vacation, every moment of attention is about them creating a future together. But with a single mother, he's immediately in a position where he's expected to invest resources into another man's children. Children who will never be fully his. Children who come with an ex who will be in the picture forever. Children who will always be her first priority, which means he'll always be second, third, or fourth. I remember sitting across from a guy, let's call him Marcus, successful software engineer, 34 years old.
And by the way, you're never second, fellas. Never second. All right? You're either fourth or fifth on that list, because at that particular time, she's not only prioritizing her children ahead of you, she's also prioritizing the father of those children ahead of you. She's prioritizing her girlfriends ahead of you. She's prioritizing her family ahead of you. You fall down to down that list, especially if you're tolerated. You will fall so low on that list that it'll look like she's just giving you time when she can spare it, you know. And that's truly below the standards of any self-respecting man. But black men have been what's the word I'm looking for? Our self-esteem has been shot from day one because we've only been taught how to serve women. And, you know, we'll get into that, though.
Never married. He'd been dating a single mother for about 4 months. He came to me because he couldn't figure out why he felt so resentful. On paper, she was great, beautiful, kind, intelligent. But every time they made plans, something with her kids would come up. Every time he wanted spontaneity, she needed a babysitter. Every time he imagined their future, he saw himself raising another man's children, while that man paid minimal child support and showed up to play Disney Dad every other weekend. I feel like I'm auditioning to be a stepdad to kids who already have a father, Marcus told me. And the worst part is I'm supposed to pretend like this is normal, like I should be grateful for the opportunity. That's the reality nobody wants to say out loud. Let's talk about what actually happens in relationships with single mothers. And I'm going to be specific because specificity is where truth lives. From day one, a man dating a single mother knows he will never be her first priority, ever. Her kids come first, always, and every man understands this on an intellectual level. He can say all the right things about respecting her role as a mother, but emotionally, psychologically, he's hardwired to want to be chosen first by his partner. This creates a psychological tension that never resolves. He's expected to pour boyfriend-level commitment and resources into a situation where he gets part-time girlfriend attention. She's exhausted from work and parenting. Date nights get cancelled because the kid is sick. Romantic weekends are impossible without complex logistics. Spontaneous anything doesn't exist. And slowly he realizes he's living the responsibilities of family life without any of the benefits or appreciation.
And another part of that, too, is when she's in that particular place in her life, fellas, she's still out there seeking other men attention from other men. It's, you know, because she, I mean, specifically, you know, if a child, if she has more than two children, chances are there are more than two fathers or there's at least two fathers involved in the situation. That in itself should tell you about the promiscuous nature of whoever you're dating. All right. And you don't want to date a woman that's promiscuous because, you know, that sexual attention is like, it's her life's blood. She can't live without it. And I mean, you can see it. You can see it in married women. You can see it. What was Stephon Curry's wife? I forget her name. But how she went on the Red Table with Jada Pinkett and Gabrielle Union and started talking about she just wanted to know she still had it. Like, what the fuck? Like,
you know, I don't want peace. I want problems always.
It's just ridiculous about somebody who would just, I mean, and think that, like I said, Steph Curry gives her what more could you want other than what Steph Curry gives her? Right? What more could you want? Man is not embarrassed at publicly. The man looks like he adores her, and he even caves into some of the things she wants. She has some very scandalous looking photo sessions and took some pictures that man, listen, I'm not mad. My wife would never, if I was married, she would never. But let us move on.
Here's what it looks like in practice. She texts him that her babysitter cancelled, so their date is off. Again, he understands. He has to understand. But understanding doesn't change the fact that he just spent an hour getting ready, was looking forward to seeing her, and now he's sitting home alone on a Friday night. This happens once, twice, five times. Each time he tells himself it's fine, but each time, a little piece of his enthusiasm dies. Now let's address the elephant that's always in the room, on the phone, at the pickup, at the school events, in the group chat. The ex-husband or baby daddy. This man will be a permanent fixture in any relationship she has, forever. There is no escape from this reality. Every quality man understands that dating a single mother means you're entering into an eternal triangle. You're not building a relationship with her. You're joining a pre-existing system where you're the outsider. The father of her children, no matter how absent or problematic, will always have access to her. They'll communicate regularly. They'll make decisions together. They'll share history that you'll never be part of. And in moments of crisis, she'll call him before she calls you.
Man, I dated a woman and she had three children. Two in a previous marriage and one outside of that marriage who was, you know, very young, little sweetheart of a girl. Right? She would often call her the most recent baby daddy to go pick up or you know, if there was a crisis where one of her other children needed some help or assistance, she would often call him to come help her solve whatever the dilemma was that day, whether it was somebody needing a ride from school or somebody needing to come from one part of the city to another. She would call him. And like I said, man, so I don't want y'all to feel like that. I'm talking to y'all from a place where I don't understand. We all go through our moments, man, you know, and we all have our blue pill experiences. And once you understand that's where you have been, it's a place you'll never go back to. It'll never go back to. You'll barricade yourself. You'll never go back to that. And don't forget, man, it ain't just the fact that she can't find a babysitter. A lot of times, she'll bring that child with her or those children with her on dates with you. But when she's going out with a girlfriend, she will find a reliable babysitter. I've never seen a woman with children who wasn't able to find babysitting when they wanted to go out, when they wanted to party with their friends and socialize. Never did they have to bring their children with them. But when you want to go out with her, it's a package deal. It's a package deal.
Because he's the father of her children, and you're just the boyfriend. I had a client, we'll call him James, who dated a single mother for 2 years. 2 years of playing second fiddle to her ex's schedule, her ex's opinions, her ex's problems. The breaking point came when her ex called at midnight because he got a DUI and needed someone to get him from jail, and she went. She left James's bed at midnight to go bail out her ex-husband because the kids need their father. James sat there in the dark and had a moment of clarity. He realized he'd spent 2 years investing in a woman who would always prioritize her connection to another man over him. Not because she was a bad person, but because that's the reality of the situation. The ex isn't an ex when there are kids involved. He's a permanent co-parent, and you're the optional add-on. Everyone has baggage. That's just being human. But single mothers come with baggage that has baggage. It's not just her emotional wounds from the previous relationship. It's an entire ecosystem of complications that affect every single aspect of a relationship. There's the financial baggage. Child support payments that limit her income. Extra expenses that always seem to appear. Kids who need braces, sports equipment, school supplies, college funds. And there's often an unspoken expectation that a man who dates her should help with these costs, even though they're not his responsibility. There's the logistical baggage. Her schedule isn't her own. It's dictated by custody agreements, school calendars, after-school activities, and the whims of her co-parent. Want to take a spontaneous weekend trip? Not without planning 6 weeks in advance and negotiating with the ex. Want her to spend the night at your place, only on nights when she doesn't have the kids, which is exactly when she most wants to see them. There's the emotional baggage. She's been through a divorce or a breakup with someone she had children with. That level of entanglement leaves scars that don't heal easily. She might have trust issues. She might be hypervigilant about red flags. She might compare you to her ex constantly, either favorably or unfavorably, but you're always being measured against him. And here's the baggage nobody talks about, the baggage of her judgment. She made the decision to have children with someone who's no longer in her life as a partner, whether that was her choice or circumstances beyond her control. It raises questions. What was her judgment like? What red flags did she miss? And will she miss them with you too? Let's talk about something that makes people uncomfortable, but is absolutely central to why men avoid single mothers.
Now, and that is a very important point to bring up, because you really need to understand how a person thinks and their ability to make good decisions. A person who has a child with somebody, that's a lifelong commitment. And, it's often, you know, you find people will say stuff like, I don't believe in abortion or this, that, and the other for spiritual reasons. I'm like, but you don't mind just haphazardly having one night stands with people. It's insane to me that you're perfectly fine living a secular life on one hand, but when it came to this particular decision with somebody who you knew it was a bad decision, a bad move, that you were going to maintain this permanent relationship with this person in their life, in your life. You know, unless something tragic happens and that child transpires before, you know, or dies or whatever, that child is the allows that man to be a tether in the life of that woman for the rest of her life, the rest of their lives. She herself is allowing that, and she has created that tethered line with that man. And often it's with men who who no longer want to be with her. But they don't want her to have anybody else either, which is insane to me. But this is the dilemmas that you deal with. So, and I get it, because some people are just possessive like that. But why would you get yourself entangled, right? As Jada Pinkett said, why would you have an entanglement with somebody who was already twisted up like that? You got to think about a person in decision. And I'm never going to accept I was young as an excuse when preteens understand the consequences of having sex unprotected and the possible repercussions of that. I will never take that I was young bullshit. Ever.
Biology. Men are biologically programmed to want to pass on their own genes. This isn't controversial. It's evolutionary psychology 101. And when a man dates a single mother, especially one who doesn't want more children or is past her prime childbearing years, he's being asked to invest his resources in children who don't carry his DNA. This creates a profound psychological conflict. He might genuinely care about her kids. He might even grow to love them. But there's a primal part of his brain that knows these aren't his offspring, that his resources, his time, his guidance is going toward perpetuating another man's genetic line, not his own. And for men who want biological children of their own, dating a single mother with multiple kids often means waiting, compromising, or giving up on that dream entirely. I remember a guy, let's call him Robert, 38 years old, who came to me devastated. He'd spent 4 years with a single mother of three. He kept waiting for the right time for them to have a child together. But there was never a right time. She was stretched too thin with the three she had. Money was always tight. Her energy was depleted, and slowly he watched his window for fatherhood close while he played stepdad to another man's kids. I wake up at 42 years old, he told me, and I realize I've spent my prime years raising kids that aren't mine, and now I might never have my own. The bitterness in his voice was crushing, but that's the reality that men face when they date single mothers. They often have to choose between her and their own biological imperative. Here's the brutal economics of dating that nobody wants to acknowledge. Men, especially quality men with options, are doing a cost-benefit analysis. And when they compare dating a single mother to dating a woman without kids, the single mother loses on almost every metric. A woman without kids offers 100% availability, no ex-partner complications, the possibility of creating a family together from scratch, flexibility in lifestyle and decisions. A single mother offers partial availability, permanent ex-partner involvement, everything planned in advance, shared attention with kids, and you'll always be second priority. From a pure marketplace perspective, why would a quality man choose the second option when the first is available? The only reason would be if the single mother brought significantly more value to offset these disadvantages. And the hard truth is, most don't, because the exact life choices that led to single motherhood often indicate judgment issues that quality men want to avoid. Let's talk about what happens if a man actually commits to a single mother. He enters what I call the step-parent trap, where he has all the responsibilities of a parent with none of the authority or respect. He's expected to help raise the kids, contribute financially, be present at their events, provide guidance and discipline, but he's not their father. He has no legal rights. If the relationship ends, he loses access to kids he may have bonded with. The biological father can undermine his authority. The mother can override his decisions. The kids can throw "you're not my dad" in his face whenever he tries to provide structure. I had a client, we'll call him David, who lived this nightmare. He spent 6 years with a single mother, helped raise her two boys from ages 8 and 10 to 14 and 16. He coached their sports teams. He helped with homework. He paid for their phones, their clothes, their activities. He treated them like his own sons. Then she cheated on him with her ex-husband. They separated, and overnight he lost everything. The boys, who he'd invested years in, stopped responding to his texts. She blocked him from their lives completely. He had no legal rights, no recourse, no way to see these kids he'd helped raise. And she moved on like he never existed.
And that's something, that's another aspect that people don't want to talk about. Is that you end up, when you get in relationships with single mothers, most men, if you're decent and you really care about that relationship with that person, you develop a relationship with those children. You develop a bond. And you start to invest in them, not just your money, but your time. You start having conversations with them about life. And especially in situations where she has already told you she will no longer consider having children for you. And then, and typically that typically comes at the end, right? Because they'll gaslight you the whole time about having children. But when you're dealing with a relationship like that, it's a no-win situation, because at any given time, she can cut off the faucet. She can cut your water off. And not only that, don't date a mother who has a teenage daughter, because all of a sudden, that teenage daughter wants mommy-daughter time. And that teenage daughter, I've seen situations where that teenage daughter will walk around the house, scantily clad, clothing and things of that nature, and to sort of like entice a situation. And what I mean by entice the situation is if you happen to glance in her direction, she can now make a claim that she feels uncomfortable around you or that you've been making advances towards her. It's crazy work. It's just not worth it. It's not worth your career. It's not worth your livelihood. So I'm going to let this play on because there's some other things I want to get to. So there's going to be no interruptions between now and the end of this one. And because I want to get to something else real quick.
While he grieved the loss of not just a relationship, but the children he'd bonded with. I lost my family, he told me, tears streaming down his face. But they were never really my family, were they? I was just the guy who paid the bills until she went back to their real father. That's the step-parent trap. All the emotional investment with none of the security. Here's something that eats at men who date single mothers. Even if they never articulate it, there's a respect deficit baked into the relationship from the start. And it comes from multiple directions. Her kids might not respect him. He's not their father. He's the guy dating their mum. And kids, especially teenagers, can be brutal in their dismissiveness. They ignore his input. They complain about his presence. They wait for him to leave so they can have their mum to themselves. Her ex might not respect him. Why would he? This new guy is just temporary. The ex knows he has permanent leverage through the kids. He knows she'll always pick up his calls, always accommodate his schedule, always prioritize co-parenting over her romantic relationship. The ex doesn't see the new boyfriend as a threat. He sees him as a babysitter and a wallet. Her family might not respect him. They see him as the rebound guy. They compare him to her ex, who fathered their grandchildren and will always be family. They're polite, but he's never fully integrated. He's tolerated, not embraced. And sometimes he senses she doesn't fully respect him either. Because if she did, would she constantly prioritize everyone else over him? Would she expect him to accept terms that no self-respecting man should accept? Would she be surprised when he eventually walks away? Let's break down the actual investment a man makes when dating a single mother versus what he receives in return. This isn't romantic, but relationships are partnerships, and partnerships need balance. He invests financial resources toward her household, time with kids that aren't his biological children, emotional energy dealing with ex-drama, flexibility and patience with constant complications. His own goals and dreams often get delayed or abandoned, prime dating years that could be spent finding a better match, and the possibility of having his own biological family. He receives partial attention when kids aren't around, a relationship filled with logistical challenges, a partner who's often exhausted and stressed, no guarantee of stability or permanence, the knowledge that he'll never be her first priority, and a ready-made family that can be taken away at any moment. The math doesn't math, and every quality man runs this calculation, even if unconsciously, and most of them decide it's a losing proposition. Here's a pattern I've seen repeatedly in my practice. A man meets a single mother. She's attractive, accomplished, mature. He thinks maybe this is different. Maybe he's mature enough to handle it. Maybe love conquers all. So he tries. He really tries. He bonds with the kids. He accommodates the schedule. He bites his tongue when the ex acts like an idiot. He puts his own needs second, third, fourth. He tells himself this is what real men do. But 6 months in, a year in, 2 years in, he starts to feel it. The resentment, the frustration, the realization that he's playing a rigged game. He looks at his friends who are with women without kids, and he sees freedom. He sees prioritization. He sees relationships where both people are each other's first choice. And then comes the moment that breaks him. Maybe it's another cancelled date. Maybe it's watching her ex disrespect him again. Maybe it's her choosing her kid's soccer game over his important work event. Maybe it's just waking up one day and realizing he's been auditioning for a role in someone else's life story instead of writing his own. He leaves, and she's shocked. She tells her friends he couldn't handle a real woman with responsibilities. She posts on social media about men who can't step up. She tells her kids that he just couldn't love them enough. But that's not what happened. What happened is he finally respected himself enough to stop accepting a deal where he gives 100% and gets 30% back. And she blames him for refusing to be grateful for the scraps. Let's be honest about what men are actually thinking. A quality man in his 30s or 40s has options. He might not have unlimited options, but he has options. And when he's on a dating app or meeting women in real life, he's making comparisons. There's the 28-year-old without kids who's excited about life and has time for adventure. There's the 32-year-old professional who's career-focused and low-maintenance. There's the 35-year-old who's never been married and wants to build something from scratch with the right person. And then there's the single mother. She's 36, has two kids, shares custody with an ex who's in the picture permanently, has a schedule that's locked down 6 months in advance, is financially stressed, emotionally exhausted, and needs a man who'll step up and help raise kids that aren't his. Which option would you choose? The single mother needs an extraordinary man to choose extraordinary circumstances, but she's often not offering extraordinary value to justify that choice. She's offering a below-average deal and expecting above-average men to take it. The math doesn't work. Here's what actually happens in most relationships between quality men and single mothers. It starts with optimism. He thinks he's mature enough, evolved enough, secure enough to handle it. She thinks she's found one of the rare good ones who can see past her circumstances. But slowly the resentment builds. For him it's every cancelled plan, every moment of feeling second best, every interaction with her ex, every dollar spent on kids that aren't his. For her it's feeling like he'll never fully understand, like he judges her for her past, like he's not as committed as she needs him to be. The resentment creates distance. The distance creates communication problems. The communication problems create more resentment. And round it goes until someone breaks. I've seen this cycle dozens of times. A man comes in angry, feeling used. A woman comes in frustrated, feeling unsupported. Neither is wrong. They're just in an impossible situation, trying to make work something that's fundamentally imbalanced. You want to know the real reason men don't date single mothers? It's not about being shallow or selfish or afraid of commitment. It's because men are finally learning to value themselves enough to say no to bad deals. For generations, men were told they had to be providers, protectors, fixers. They had to step up, be the hero, save the day. And many men sacrificed their own happiness trying to live up to that standard. They married single mothers, raised kids that weren't theirs, accepted being second priority, and swallowed their resentment. But something's changed. Men are waking up to the reality that self-sacrifice without reciprocity isn't noble. It's just foolish. They're realizing that choosing themselves isn't selfish. It's self-respect. They're understanding that they don't have to settle for someone else's leftovers and pretend it's a feast. Single mothers often frame this as men being immature or afraid of real responsibility. But that's projection. What they're actually afraid of is being taken advantage of. And that's not fear. That's wisdom. Here's what's happening in the dating market right now. Single mothers are discovering that the pool of quality men willing to date them is much smaller than they anticipated, and they're responding with frustration, anger, and blame. They blame men for being shallow. They blame society for stigmatizing single mothers. They blame dating apps for giving men too many options. They blame everyone except the person who made the choice to have children with someone they're no longer with. But the market doesn't care about blame or fairness or what anyone deserves. The market cares about supply and demand, and the demand for single mothers from quality men is low. Not because there's something wrong with them as people, but because the value proposition doesn't make sense. A man can date a woman without kids and potentially build a family together, or he can date a single mother and inherit someone else's family while giving up the possibility of his own. When you frame it that way, the choice becomes obvious. So what's the actual answer to why men don't date single mothers? It's this. Because men are finally doing the same cost-benefit analysis that women have been doing forever. They're asking themselves, what's in this for me? And the honest answer is, not much. Not enough to justify the complications, not enough to offset the sacrifices, not enough to make it worth giving up their freedom, their resources, and potentially their own biological children. Single mothers offer a relationship where the man is expected to accept permanent second place, invest in another man's children, deal with ex-drama forever, navigate complex logistics constantly, delay or abandon his own dreams, give more than he'll ever receive, and in return he gets a partner when it's convenient, a role with responsibility but no authority, the label of stepdad instead of dad, and a relationship that can end and take away everything he invested. That's not a relationship. That's a hostage situation with better marketing. The truth is, most men would rather stay single than accept those terms. They'd rather be alone than be someone's safety net, backup plan, or financial solution. They'd rather wait for someone who chooses them first than settle for someone who needs them to complete her pre-existing family. And that's not men failing to step up. That's men finally learning to step back from bad deals. The difference looks the same from the outside, but the motivation is completely different. What happens to single mothers in the dating market? They get exactly what the market dictates. Some find men desperate enough or damaged enough to accept the terms. Some find genuinely good men who are willing to be saints. Some give up on dating and focus on their kids. But most experience the frustration of having far fewer options than they expected. They watch men their age date younger women without kids. They watch their friends in simple relationships wondering why theirs has to be so complicated. They watch years pass while they wait for someone who'll accept the deal they're offering. And slowly, some of them realize the truth. They made choices that had consequences. And one of those consequences is that quality men view them as high-risk, low-reward investments. Not because they're bad people, but because the math doesn't work. That's why men don't date single mothers. Not because men are shallow or afraid or immature, but because men are finally asking themselves the same question women have been asking forever. Can I do better? And when it comes to single mothers, the honest answer is usually yes.
Do you think I paid that doll?
No, no, no.
Can I pay that doll?
No.
Can I pay that doll?
No,
he's sleeping. Can I pay that doll?
So, and this is one of the things that, and there was so much that they went over in that, from the whole concept of men understanding their value. And that's what I want to get into now, okay? Because as men who understand their value, and when he was talking about high quality men, a lot of times that metric is based on what a person makes financially. But we all know that as men, you know, the characteristics go a lot further than just what's in your wallet and your bank account. And I think a lot of times what's starting to happen is men have come to identifying this reality right here.
Everybody thinks the man is supposed to sacrifice his life for everybody else, and he don't get no reward, no enjoyment for it, and there's no return on it. The man's happiness don't mean nothing to nobody. The man's peace don't mean nothing to nobody. The man ain't appreciated, homie, till his presence is no longer there.
So, and that's why we have to, as men, we have to start appreciating our own. our own presence. And so that gets into something, right? Because I can go into that other presentation that you just heard and really address some of the things that he brought up about the time wasted, time invested, all those different factors. But what it really comes down to is, what do you center? What's the true value of a man? And a lot of us have still, especially in the black community, we, more than anything else, still value being or censoring women. And let's be clear about something. That's not just black men. That's a biological imperative, right? Because, you know, we as a part of nature, and even in the clip that you watched, that you just heard earlier, the notion of trying to survive, you know, our biology, it's what makes men want to get with women. And we want to produce. Men want legacies. Men want children to carry on, pass their genes on to be branches of their family trees. They want that. But black men in particular, right? I mean, oh, that's too damn loud. Black men in particular, that high pitch part be getting me. Black men in particular have been trained and nurtured to actually seek to actually look for ways to serve our women. And that's because of the matriarchal society that we're in. Women are centered at every point. And it's hard for them to deal with men who understand what it is, and it's hard for them to deal with black men that actually are leaders. And brothers, this is why you have to, you know, you have to follow, you have to find somebody. Find a man who exemplifies leadership skills and characteristics. Somebody who is a man of his word, integrity. A good man doesn't mean that he's a weak man or always a nice man. A good man has a healthy amount of self-esteem and self-respect. And he doesn't allow those things to get violated. And a lot of times, you know, we get gaslit because people will always tell us what a real man is, but without speaking about qualities that represent what a real man is, only the qualities that benefit them. It's a very manipulative conjecture. However, brothers, you have to create, you have to understand what your purpose is in life. What is your purpose? And that means you have to go on a journey of self-discovery. You have to find out those things that interest you. You have to explore the world. You have to explore your mind. You have to read books. Do more reading. Do some research. Find out the things that engage your mind, things you want to invest more of your time into. Productive things, of course. You know, I ain't telling you to go out there and become a damn junkie. Because some of y'all out there, you know, I love weed. Next thing you know, goddamn stoner. All right, I'm not telling you to do those things. What I am telling you to do is to go out there and figure out what it is in life you want to do. And that make that your purpose. A woman should never be your first, second priority. She's at number three. Your purpose and your drive to fulfill that purpose. And she needs to understand that early. And women will always try to climb up on your list of priorities. But fellas, you have to be strong enough, because it's not selfish to choose you. It's not selfish to choose you. And in fact, if more brothers chose themselves, the black community would be in a lot better place right now, because you wouldn't have all the simp shit going on. You wouldn't have all the emasculated males out here who are hyper emotional, who move based on the impulsivity. you wouldn't be dealing with any of that out here in the city and anywhere in America. Not at the rate we're dealing with it now. But all these cats out here trying to be cute, which is the exact opposite of men. Men get off work, they dirty. You know, men are sweaty. You know, men have dirt under their fingernails when they're done working. They don't mind getting their hands dirty. Now, I ain't saying you shouldn't clean up, because, you know, don't stay dirty now, because we don't deal with that nasty shit up in here.
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
All right. So, you know, don't offend me with your odor, homie. But brothers, choose yourself, okay? Make yourself your first priority. Don't center your world around a woman. She'll break your heart every time. In fact, most women only are interested in the chase. Once they hook you, now the excitement is gone. And the excitement is what drives them. It's what motivates them. You don't ever want to be that guy. So, with that said, man, I want to thank everybody that took the time out. Hang out with your brother on this yet another Philly Friday, you know, here on Fat Life Station. As I often say, man, you know, and like I said, I truly appreciate it. I truly appreciate all the different things we do. You know what I'm saying? Let me give y'all a round of applause, you know. Y'all a round of applause for, you know, just your attentiveness and not rocking out with a brother. It makes me feel good, you know. Don't forget to go to the True Stories Podcast Network and check us out there. We have a lot of amazing episodes, a lot of new shows popping up. So make sure, you know, new podcasters. So, you know, not even new podcasters, but some revisiting, you know, who are back on the scene. Go check it out, y'all. And then as I always say, y'all, take care of yourselves. It's getting cold out there. Winter's here. All right. Protect your neck. And, you know, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And I am out of here.